Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio, show 3 out of 4. How about that? Racer Radio, the only motorsports show in San Diego County that I'm aware of, and for sure the longest running. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection sponsors this segment, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. If you got a classic car, race car, hot rod, or just an everyday beater that you're trying to get better fuel mileage out of, Stan is the man. 619-265-2400, 619-265-2400. Check them out. Hey, we got Norm DeWitt on the line again. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing fantastic.
So what's going on in the wonderful world of motorsports? By the way, folks, Norm is a celebrated author. He's been around motorsports pretty much his whole life. Done racing. He's done it all. So we love it when he calls in because he is definitely on the pulse of what is going on in the motorsport world. Hey, I got to ask you, it was interesting. I was looking on the websites this morning before I came in, and have you noticed that Brian France gets busted for drinking and carrying illegal drugs, and the NASCAR community has no problem with it? They're just supporting the heck out of him.
I didn't hear an outcry.
No, did you?
Well, I don't think it's the first time either. I think
is that what it is?
So we're a little jaded. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do understand that some people really struggle with addiction problems and things, but, you know, and I think, you know, maybe that's why everybody's looking at it kind of like, well, somebody help this guy, you know.
Well, and you know, and I meant that in a positive way, because most sporting events and manufacturing, you know, they trash him and throw him out. And I was kind of, it was a little refreshing that people realize that he does have an issue and he needs to work on it. And do you think there was going to be I know you're not a NASCAR fan per se, but did you think there was going to be an upper management change prior to this coming? Because it seemed to me like it was coming.
Well, you know, it's early. We'll see. I don't try to get too involved in NASCAR politics, but way better to have a substance abuse problem in the office than in the car.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I mean, when I was racing back in the 70s and 80s, you know, you'd be walking, say, into the restroom at Riverside in the paddock, and there'd be somebody walking out going, they were probably, you know, pretty much all coked up for the race, and you'd make a little mental note to watch out for this guy.
Stay away from that number, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think you're Superman, maybe you're faster, but it's not going to last.
Never last. So what's going on? What good things have you run into lately?
Well, one thing that kind of caught my eye was the other day, Ross Braun, who's the guy who's been brought in to somewhat run Formula One. Ross, he made some pronouncement that in 10 years, Formula One is going to be all electric.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a specific, you know, here's the formula and here's the date, but he basically said that's where this is eventually going. I think he said in about 10 years. So that definitely reverberated through the motorsports world. Because, you know, I'm really not interested in them. You know, I'm sure they'll end up with doing some sort of audio enhancement that may be something similarly lame to so many of the high-performance production cars these days that pipe a normally aspirated engine screaming through your radio.
Oh, no.
As opposed to listening to your engine making these little wheezy pops and stuff as the turbocharged engine, you know, muffles much of the scream. So I hope that's not what it's coming to, where it's going to be fakey-doo noise to make it sound fast.
Well, you were wondering when you were going to retire. I think somebody just set the date. Jeez.
Well, I don't know. There's, you know, Formula One isn't the world, you know.
No, but you know what? Next thing you know, and much as you're not a NASCAR fan, pretty soon the, you know, Camping World Truck Series and Xfinity and NASCAR is all going to be electric.
Well, I wouldn't get too far. I mean, it's a little bit like a popular mechanics cover from the 1950s where we'll all be commuting to work in our jets.
Yeah, exactly.
That launch off of ramps mounted on our rooftops. And I just somehow don't quite see it being a universal adoption. Just that's my opinion. I mean, I don't. Tesla may be the most valuable automobile company in the United States, but look at the quantity of cars that they're managing to turn out.
Hey, we just had a fellow racer, send in a text. All electric. They may live to regret that.
With the vomit emoji.
Yeah, with a vomit emoji.
That's my girl.
I mean, there's a place for it, and I guess that place is Formula E.
That's what you were talking about last week.
The formula.
Right.
Yeah, as much as I detest the formula that they're using, but putting electric motors in Formula One is,
no.
You know, I mean, I understand the hybrid concept because the manufacturers were all behind that because they are making a lot of developments and advances in hybrid technology by having it in these cars, running at Le Mans and running in Formula One. But I'd hate to see the thing go all electric.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would just be so disappointing on so many levels.
Yeah, it would be. But then again,
do you think it was hard to get a ticket to the Indy 500 back in the mid-90s? Try it if Formula One goes electric and everybody wants to go back to following IndyCar.
Oh, my gosh.
It's already a max capacity. You can't. It's so hard to go to Indy. I haven't gone in probably 5 or 6 years. Yeah. 200,000 of your closest friends show up.
I remember the 100th running. Uh-huh. They told us, they said, you want to be in the media center by 4 a.m.
Uh-huh. Sounds about right.
It was completely sold out. It's the first time I've ever seen a sign on the front door of their ticket office that said, completely sold out, don't even ask. You know?
And that is a racetrack that is the worst spectator track on the planet. Or one of.
Well, I didn't agree with you when you said that before.
Do you think it's a good spectator? I mean, wherever you sit, that's all you're going to see.
You see one part of the race, yes. Yeah, and then you watch the rest of it
on the big
monitor.
Screens.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much true on any super speedway, unless you're sitting in the nosebleed section, where you may as well be watching it on television.
Right, right.
I found that I tend to shoot with my cameras down at the very end of pit out, as far as they'll let me go to turn one, and then I can shoot them coming into turn one side by side, and I've gotten some unbelievable action shots, passes for the lead in the last couple of laps, or when Sato and Frank Keating got together back in 2012. You know, it's just being in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty darn exciting with 200,000 to 300,000 people on their feet screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it is.
It's a lot.
Hey, how are the book sales doing?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, I'm waiting to get more reviews from the magazines. I've got them being sent off here and there, but you know, it's still new, and it took a few months for Making It Faster to take off. Now Making It Faster too is kind of just trying to get coverage, and I have no doubt that I'm getting rave reviews from the people that have read it. So
you're waiting for
the buzz.
Yeah, you just got to go on a book tour.
Well, in my world, that's sending off the books to various magazines and getting reviews. That's the most effective kind of book tour I know of.
You need to go to Paris Auto Speedway on a Saturday night, put up a little card table, and put your little picture of you up there and just
and start kissing babies.
Start kissing babies, baby.
Yeah, maybe I should put a jalopy or a sprint car on the cover have a second cover for those nights.
Yeah, and then.
Well, I will offer you this: if we can get an open wheel car down in San Diego to come to KUSI, I got no problem propping your book up if you can figure out how to get an open wheel car. I don't care what vintage; be up to you. And we'll put it on TV and we'll promote your book.
Well, actually, there is a kid in San Diego County. His name escapes me at the moment, but he was running in Formula 4 and running quite competitively.
Well, let's bring him in your book.
So, yeah, I'll kind of retrace my steps and try to reach out to him.
See, now you got something to do.
And then there's, of course, Jay Gagne out of he lives over in kind of Claremont West, I guess you'd call it. And he's a local surfer who also happens to be riding the Red Bull Honda in World Superbike.
Hey, bring him too. I don't care. It's, you know me. Yeah,
he tells me his friends that are his surfing friends don't even know that he's racing for world championships all over the world. They just know he's not around a lot.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Normal. Hey, thanks a lot. How do people find the book and what's the title again?
Making It Faster 2, the Indianapolis and Grand Prix cars, and you can just go to makingitfaster.com, and there's links to all the Amazon
All right, buddy. Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to give Michelle your contact info, have you send her a book. She can read it, and we'll definitely enhance her knowledge. What
and
do you
I
think?
Write reviews.
And
so
she
there
writes
you go.
Reviews.
I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No
all right,
worries.
Buddy.
Okay.
Take care. We're going to take a small break.
Thanks,
folks.
Norm.
When we come back, Dirt Dude is on the line, I think. Or he was.
He should be.
Hopefully.
Hey, Dirt Dude. Paging Dirt Dude.
Paging Dirt Dude. Right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. This is Racer Radio. Sorry about that. I happen to like that CD, and I haven't sat down and actually listened to it in a while. And every time Jeffrey throws a tune in, I go, oh, yeah, I remember that one. I got to take a listen to it. Hey, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. They've got sales going on, 365 days out of the year. Take a run down there, or you can go to their website, ElCajonFord.com. They also support Barona Speedway, and that's the reason they're on right now. We've got Dirt Dude on the line, and he's going to tell us a little bit about all that went down last night. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Excellent. How was the night last night?
It was a really good night. We had about 500 fans show up, and we had about 69 cars show up. It was a warm afternoon, but then as soon as the sun went down, it was perfect. You know, once you get the sun down over the hill, the temperatures change, and cut the track during intermission and come back for main events. And it was just a perfect night to go through, watch some racing. In our kids, we had Wyatt Bozanowski get a main event win due to technical DQs by the 77 Kaylee Carty got DQed for carburetor issues. And then these are all of our junior drivers, into our Middorf Masters. Wesley Sexton got his second main event win with his brother PJ right behind him. And into our Sportsman's Middorfs, Mason Minter got his first main event win after racing at our track for 3 years. So that's pretty cool to see that kid finally get a first main event win.
Wow.
Onto the big track, Ryan O'Connor got his second main event win, or third main event win. And he's tied with John Isabella, who came in a second with three main event wins. Really good fast night that night. It was, we had a 15 car show up, and it was green, white, checkered. It went just straight through. It was a pretty awesome race for our dwarf cars. On to the street stocks, Dave Capella got his fifth main event win, and he had a strong running car, was out in front pretty good. Great race for them. IMC Modifieds, we had 20 Modifieds show up. Royce Henry got his fifth main event win. Matthew Hicks got second. Bill Miller out of Yuma, Arizona got third. It was a pretty tough night for those guys. I mean, 20 cars on that track, and it was a perfect track for them. Still stayed tacky the whole night, and when they got out there, it was still a good track for them. On to the pro and stock ponies. In our stock pony, Shane Sexton got his second main event win. And Dennis Taylor got his 10th main event win. So he's doing pretty good. Been leading all of the pro ponies. And on to the pure stocks. Did a mix-up last night. Since they were the last ones up, we ran them backwards. So they all ran backwards. And Dale Irwin got a main event win. It was pretty cool to see them run backwards. And that was how the night went. And getting ready for what's looking forward to the next race. Will be August 25th. California Lightning Sprints will be here. There's five races left in the season. And a few of the highlights will be October 6th. We'll have a figure eight race. And then October 20th, which is our last race, California Lightning Sprints will be back again. So this next race, August 25th, we're doing something. Trisha Salazar is trying to collect backpacks for back to school night. So we're asking anyone in the grandstands, general admission, friends, families, racers to all bring a backpack and donate. We're going to be handing those out to needy children that need a backpack.
What date?
School supplies.
What date?
The next race. August 25th, the next race.
I wonder if we could get some cars to KUSI. You guys are supposed to let me know this stuff early.
This is just something she was talking about.
It's a great idea. But if we let everybody, know, you know, bring a race car, a couple race cars to KUSI and some backpacks. All right, let me see what you say. The 25th.
August
25th. Yeah.
2 weeks.
Right, let me see what I can do.
Yeah, there's a couple things you're talking about trying to do, especially for next year. We want to, Trish wants to try and put together a lot of different events.
Right.
So, you know, autism awareness, maybe a celebrity race again, maybe trying to get like six different cars out there, and each one of them is a fundraiser for a different charity organization, and, you know, try and race them out for, you know, to see who wins for an organization where we can donate stuff to and try and get people behind. So it's, I think next year we're going to try and do a lot with the different, a lot of different organizations.
Well, you know, it makes sense. You know, if you guys could get at least five or six donor cars, little front wheel drive imports that Eric Evans and his team can, you know, get all, you know, fixed up. And then you just leave them at the track, and then you can have these, you know, like ALS, you know, Heart Association, you know, Susan G., all that. They could come out and rent the cars to raise money for their causes.
Yeah, and then they can actually, if they had a few of them, they can auction off a ride or a driver that right. wants to try and come out and have, like, charity racing.
Right. I need to sit. I need to get a hold of Trish and sit down and help her. I got some great ideas as far as raising not only money with charity, but awareness to the track as well.
Yeah, that's what we're looking into now.
Cool.
So this backpack thing was just to help, you know, those kids
that don't
have backpacks for school. And I think she was talking about the last race, and then we've had just brought it up, and then we had a couple people heard about it and brought some backpacks for this last race we were at. And then we're actually going to make it official for next race. So hopefully with California Lightning Sprints coming, and, you know, hopefully a lot of people will be turning out for the California Lightning Sprints. It's really starting to get, hopefully towards the end of this heat season and then stuff, where people are still wanting to start coming back out again. It's hard, but, you know, there's so much to compete against with, you know, Paris and every other track out there, and then every other thing in San Diego County to do. It's really hard to, you know, get a lot of fans to come back out. But we have a really good set of dedicated fans. Like I said, we get usually about 500 people to show up all the time that just love racing.
No doubt about it. Diehards.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys had a good night last night. And, you know, of course, there's more to come.
Yeah, like I said, we're getting down there. Five races left in the season.
That's it?
Out of our 16. Yeah, we're down to the last five pretty much here. Like I said, the last the October 6th will be a figure eight race, and our last race of the season is October 20th, and that'll be a normal night, plus California Lightning Sprints will be finishing out the season at our track.
Wow. So maybe as we get closer to the end of the season, you know, get somebody that's getting real close to possibly taking the championship call in.
Yeah, I haven't been. Didn't really look to the points to give you a highlight on points right now, but I know there's a few of them that are really close.
Right, that'd be fun.
Which is, you know, there's going to be a few good points battles, and there's a couple that are kind of just walking away with it. I know if modifies, I think Royce Henry is so far out in the lead with the points lead. I mean, he's doing pretty good. He's 431 points, and second points is 381, so 100 points different. Wow. So if he gets another main event win, he pretty much can lock that up. And Dwarf Cars, you know, it's pretty close on points. John Isabella has a 1054 in points, and Ryan O'Connor, who's second in points, has a 976. So, you know, it's pretty close there.
You're going to get a kick out of this.
How they go.
So I'm in DMV on Friday, and I'm going through and getting my license renewed and all that. And who's the lovely lady helping me out? Isabella's mom.
Really?
She said, "You had my son on TV." I go, "Well, yes, I did." I said, "He's a great kid. You got to keep telling him he's a great kid." Oh, I tell him all the time he's a great kid. Small world, I'll tell you.
Oh, man, yeah. John Isabella, his son, had a birthday because I was wishing happy birthday to his son in the stands at our race on Saturday.
That's excellent. What was his birthday Saturday?
Another Leo.
What's that?
What day was his birthday?
I think it was Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep, he's a Leo.
He's another great Leo. I love it.
Four years old or something like that. Yeah, they were saying in another year he can be in a mini sprint then.
Heck yeah. That'll be great.
Are you kidding? Now you know that's going to happen. Yeah, that's a racing family. They'll definitely keep those deals alive. All right, yeah. Buddy. Well, hey, what else you got going on? Anything?
Not much. Just enjoying the Sunday. And I know Brittany's itching to come on and talk to you guys pretty soon. And she did pretty well last night. She finished ninth in the main event and did very well in the heat race. Got third in the heat race.
Wow.
I think she's already talking about who she's going to line up for next Sunday. And I'm pretty excited about that. So it sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks for all your support. We do appreciate it. And we're going to try to drag Michelle out to the track again before the season ends. I don't know when that'll be, but we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe after my trial in September.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Everybody.
BaronaSpeedway.com.
BaronaSpeedway.com. Thanks, buddy.
You guys have a good one.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Chris Holt's going to call in from Paris Auto Speedway and talk about some upcoming races that you'll definitely not want to miss. AM 1170.
The Answer.
Alright folks, welcome back to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is AM 1170.
The Answer.
And this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Go to 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Just go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com. I'm telling you folks, it is one fast half mile dirt track. And a lot goes on up there, so you need to jump on that website. Right now we got Chris Holt on the line. Hey Chris, how you doing, buddy? Hey, Chris, are you there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
So what do you got your fingers in today?
Well, you know, we always got something going on at Paris Auto Speedway. You know, we got some Night of Destruction and stock cars and things like that. But this weekend is the once-a-year California Racers Hall of Fame night.
It's
a big event. It's a fun night.
We're going.
You've been there.
If you want to go up, vintage cars, vintage drivers. Well, they are vintage drivers. But the stories, tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, the stories that come out of those guys.
So the best part about the stories is it's the same story, but it gets better every year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they go faster and faster and faster.
And the drama was more intense and more parts flew off and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you get there, you come in the gates, we're going to have the Western Racing Association cars all lined up. You know, it's a display event, and they'll have a lot of cars out there. We've also got some cars coming in from, Northern California and stuff that have been restored. an old Ron Schumann car. We've got an old Tony Simon car. We've got a couple of the Junior Kurtz cars that are just been recently redone. They're on display. The vintage drivers. We've got quite a few coming in. You never know who's going to be there, but I've talked to Chuck Gurney. He's going to be there. Stan Atherton, John Redican, champion Broden Offsinger, Jason York, that won a main event from the pole at Paris. You know, that's a feat in itself. Jay Haywood is going to be there. So tell the fans, bring their pictures, bring their programs. These guys want to sign autographs and, you know, shake hands. And it's just a really fun night.
Absolutely. And what's really emphasized is all about the family.
Yeah. It is about the family, and it is a family event. And the drivers love the kids. This is kind of an event that we have once a year where the drivers get to talk to the kids a little bit and give them a little history lesson, tell them about how it used to be, and it's just a fun deal. Got a lot going on, actually. We've got an extra $1,500 that's going to go to the winner of the main event, and that's being put up by Bill Simpson. You know, they call him the Simpson safety man.
Yes, sir.
He's around forever. He was a good buddy with Junior Kurtz. Junior Kurtz is, we just lost recently. He's a guy that kind of resurrected our trophy dash, and his wife has kept it going. We've got another $500 going to second place. That's coming in from the Woodland Auto Museum. There's just a lot of money. And it just got another $50 that came in from Norma Leonard honoring, Kennedy. So we got close to $4,000 extra money in lap money. This is all cash. It's going to go to the teams. We got a $500 Billy Wilkerson Fast Time Award. You know, if you put a pencil to it, that's about $60,000 an hour when you figure these guys are going to get about $500 in 30 seconds.
Not bad.
So, yeah, they'll be fighting for that.
Yep.
We've got some vintage trophies. All the celebrities that'll be there. Like, say, you know, maybe Dave Stahl will be there. And, you know, it is his birthday weekend, after all.
Well, you're absolutely right. But, you know, and I can't overemphasize it, folks. You really need to go up during these types of races, because it is, the history lesson alone is just mind-boggling.
Yeah. You know, one of the guys that's going to be there tonight, Shane Carson, he was right there at one of the founding, you know, days of the World of Outlaws, and he travels with the Outlaws. He'll be at the sports bar, and a lot of people have questions about, you know, the good old days, and he'll be there. He loves to talk and answer questions. So,
absolutely. Well, let's see.
And they're going to have regular racing, too.
Well, this
what's
is
on
be
the schedule?
Cars. It's going to be the Young Guns. It's going to be the Senior Sprints. We'll have the California Lightning Sprints. There won't be any sitting around time. Maybe I'll even call and get some Bud Girls.
Oh, yeah, the Bud Girls. That would be great, because then people can go out by the they can get photographs.
Yep,
right?
Photographs. And, you know, they usually will bring some posters, you know, and sign for the kids and all. And I think Dave likes them.
I think so. He would probably, maybe else. He just walked down the hall, but I think that will make what tips the scales here. Get him off the fence and get him in the car.
Yeah.
To go.
You
there.
Coming out, Michelle, this time?
I am. I actually am. I have had it on my calendar for quite a while because, I wanted to. I don't remember if I went to this last year or not. But
no, you weren't there last year. I think it was the year before.
Yeah, so I really want to go this time.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a kind of a more exciting night than normal. This is actually an event. We only do this once a year. This trophy dash that we got going, it's not like the old days trophy dash. It's kind of a much improved deal. So what they do is the four fastest cars go out there after, you know, the fastest guy gets his $500, and so he's going to be a little bit hungry for more.
Mm-hmm.
And they run them a couple laps, and then they rotate their starting position. You know, they slow them all down, and they get points. So all four drivers get a shot at this. It's not a deal where they throw the green flag, and the first guy, you know, jumps in the lead, and the other three give up. these guys all are fighting for position and money to get their point. So it's the trophy dash is just worth the price of admission. These are the four fastest guys, and guys will be showing up just for that money.
And what are those kinds of racer? What series are
those? Are the powerful 410 sprint cars?
Oh,
yeah. These are the
all right.
The guys that don't mess around.
I was going to say, you mean the rocket ships?
Yeah, yeah, they can be rocket ships, all right. Oh, they do fly.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so trophy dash. We got regular racing, young guns. We got a lot mm-hmm. going on. A lot of moving parts, as they say.
Yep, and then, like I say, you know, the normal fun that we always have.
Absolutely. And
gates open at 5, racing starts at 7. I kind of encourage the younger people to be there maybe a little bit early. They can get in and see things, you know, before they do the sweep and sweep them out. The sun will start to settle about 6 o'clock, and as soon as that happens, the temperature drops, and it's going to be a nice, comfortable night for everybody.
Oh, for sure. And also, you know, the way that the stands are set up, you're not facing the sun anyway. You're facing those beautiful mountains and hills.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Every time I go, I think it's lovely. I'm an outdoor type of person. I hate being inside. So I love it. And it's a beautiful sunset. If you get there, you can't help but enjoy yourself. The food's great. They, like you said, they have that bar, and it'll be even better because you're going to have, like you say, vintage race car drivers hanging out in the bar, just waiting to talk to you about what they can remember.
Yeah, that's what we do. We set it up at the sports bar. We have the tables out there. You know, everybody kind of drifts over that way and shakes hands and talks to these people. And I tell you what, once you're there, the drivers aren't going to let you get away. They're going to want to talk to everybody.
Pretty much. I would expect so. Well, good. I want to go talk to a couple of them myself and see what they're...
Get the autographs. Bring some pictures.
Sure. That sounds great. Okay. And after that, the season continues at Paris, from what I can tell. There's
right.
lots
got,
of racing
The Old
left.
Nationals coming up. You know, this is still a real tight battle for the championship here with the CRA guys. The points battle is only a few points apart between Brody Roa and the Demon Damian Gardner. This could possibly be Brody Roa's first championship. You know, you can't count this guy out. He has really been on a good year.
The pride of Garden Grove. I always tell him that, and then he laughs. Because yeah, people don't realize he's just from Orange County. He's just an Orange County guy, yeah. You know. So I always josh with him about that. Give him
well,
a hard time.
He's got a lot
time.
Of history. You know, his dad was a racer for years and a crew chief for some winning sprint cars. Brody Rose got a lot of support from the Parnelli Jones family, and so there's a lot of history in there.
It would really be cool to see him take a championship. Yeah,
it could happen. It would be cool for the Demon, but it sure would be cool for Brody Roa.
Yeah, definitely. And then you have some more Nights of Destruction coming up. Looks like on Labor Day weekend there's a night of destruction.
We got a makeup race coming up. It'll be the Night of Destruction 6, and these are sellout crowds. You know, we tell the folks that it will not get sold out because they'll make room for more. But I'm telling you what, this place gets packed and the people are just going nuts over what goes on the racetrack. You know, they have the trailer races. They got the figure eight races. They got the demolition derbies. And it's just a crazy night. People
That's the last
it.
Time Dave and I went, the mm-hmm. last time when they did the trailer racing. I'll tell you, that is our favorite.
You can't help but laugh. I mean, you need a doctor if you can't laugh at this stuff. You know, they come out with these trailers and they put on pianos and boats and it's
baby strollers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was an igloo cooler.
They're so creative,
there
I
was
gotta tell you.
Like a little boat. It was hysterical. Yeah. And then the winner picked up a trailer that someone else had gotten disconnected from while he was cruising around on the track.
So he won with two trailers.
He had two trailers.
Well, that's the rule. You got to have your trailer at the end of the race.
Right, yeah.
And the poor other guy was running around looking for his trailer, and the other gentleman had it already.
Yeah. So that's September 1st, according to the schedule I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't have a schedule in front of me.
Yeah, great. All right, so that's figure eights that night, too,
and
trailer racing and the demo cross. Okay.
Yep.
Wow, lots of stuff coming up. All right,
yep.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. So ParisAutoSpeedway.com if you want the full schedule and details on tickets and all that.
And we'll probably see you next Saturday.
Okay, Dave, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. All right,
we're
going to go ahead and take a small break, folks. And when we come back, there is a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, AM 1170.
The Answer.
He just left.
Who was that?
I don't know. I think it was Norm. That sounds like a Norm DeWitt exit tune.
Maybe it was Chris Holt.
It could be Chris, but I think it was Norm.
Or Brody Roa.
Hey, this is Racer Radio, brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, located 11370 North Woodside Avenue, also home of the Hose Specialties. If you have a vehicle and you want to plummet out race-worthy with the braided lines, well, Hose Specialties is where you need to be. Go to HoseSpecialties.com or call them at 619-562-4750. And when you're there, talk to the gang at Certified Car Clinic for all your automotive needs, everything from your everyday driver to your performance car as well. Okie dokie. Well, interesting enough, everybody's heard about Brian France getting busted and got in trouble with a little bit of drinking and had illegal drugs or supposedly.
He had some Oxy pills on him.
Isn't that a prescription?
Yeah, and those are really addictive. They're for people who've had back surgeries and stuff that are in extreme pain.
I've had oxycodone, and I've taken it a couple, and I never even took it for the whole duration because I don't like it.
For most people, it makes you sick.
It made me sick.
Awful, and you just can't stand it, so you take it a couple days because the doctor tells you to, and then you realize... Yeah. Who needs this garbage?
But the thing on an interesting note, in the fact NASCAR is supporting Brian, and they're hoping he gets better, and they're hoping he gets some help. A lot of industries, when somebody at the head gets in trouble,
you don't turn on them.
Yes, they do. Well, are you kidding? If somebody does something, oh my gosh, and everybody.
Well, you're supposed to make sure that they get in rehab.
Yeah. So I think that's great.
And you try to rehab the image by having the person go get treatment and all that.
And then we have a story on your future husband. Richard Rawlings from Gas Monkey.
Well, he's married already, isn't he?
I know, but that's okay.
So
Richard has never... Richard can spin donuts. That he's got figured out.
He can spin donuts?
Drag racing, not so much. I guess he was in a brand new Hellcat and they were doing a... And he was racing, of all people, Leah Pritchard.
Really?
They were both in prepared Hellcats.
Okay.
And they were, they were getting ready to, I'm sure they were doing something as far as TV goes.
For the show.
For the Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sort of crashed. And it was in the Roadkill Nights. So whenever you see the Roadkill show. Yeah, and that's that famous showdown of the famous Woodward Avenue in Pontiac, Michigan. Well, Rawlings was racing against Leah at the wheel of a Dodge Challenger Hellcat when he appeared to spin his tires just a little too long, lost control of the rear end, and Rawlings attempted to catch the rear, but his slight flick of the steering wheel only sent him straight into the driver's side concrete barrier.
Uh-oh.
Despite not carrying much speed, thanks to a long burnout he did at the start, it's estimated that he was doing only about 60, 70 miles per hour when the accident happened. So he did crash his SRT, and that was not a good deal.
Bummer, man.
Yeah.
And is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. Needless to say, the crowd had a good laugh at Rawlings' expense.
They laughed?
Of
That's
course.
Not that funny when someone crashes.
Well, they yelled, "You showboated all the way into the wall," a fan yelled at Rawlings as his Hellcat slowly rolled to the finish line.
Oh, my. People are so brutal.
Yeah. Pritchard, who races for the NHRA Championship, winning Don Schumacher race team, went on to win the race and moved on to the next round. However, it was former WWE professional wrestler Bill Goldberg who crushed the competition, quite literally, to earn the title of the fastest celebrity racer on Woodward
Bill
Avenue.
Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, you know who Goldberg is.
A big wrestler.
Big bald-headed guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
With a heavy foot, I would assume. God. What do you think?
Yeah.
Sounds like it anyway.
Yep.
And I don't know if you caught the win, if you're an NHRA fan, but Erica
Enders,
who happens to be my one of my favorites, got into a little bit of a ta-da with Chris McGahee. And so what Chris did is he challenged Erica Enders and basically filed an official protest against the Elite Motorsport team Friday night after Elite's Jeg Coughlin earned the provisional number one qualifying position and Erica Enders took the number three. She didn't qualify for the race. That's the downside. At issues was a cubic inch displacement in the two Elite Chevy engines, which cannot exceed 500. So Mr. McGahee spent $1,000 a car, only refundable if his claims were true.
Uh-huh.
So the NHRA Tech Committee ordered and observed a teardown that Enders said lasted until around midnight. So the sanctioning body ruled that the Elite engines were within legal limits.
Can you say neener, neener, neener?
That's right. So Enders says, well, we passed check.
Yep.
We were 498.6. So an inch and a half under 500.
Wow.
We're smaller than the max on both cars. All of our staff, all of our stuff is the same. We're not cheaters. We just work hard.
Good for her.
The matter was settled, but that didn't stop the sniping.
Oh.
McGahee paid $1,000 per car for the official protest. The Elite team, per NHRA rulebook, will keep 90% of the protest money. That means McGahee put $1,000 in his rival's pockets. So McGahee paid for peace of mind, but he ended up also receiving a peace of mind from Elite boss Richard Freeman and star driver Erica Enders.
Mm-hmm.
In that statement, he says, you can't buy class.
And true,
they, and they
true,
can do
true.
What they want. They have no friends out here. It's just a different way. That's not the way we do things, Freeman said. Now, that's of the Elite team. We don't really care what they do. It's kind of sad. We made two really nice runs yesterday. What I would have done is said, hey, man, that was a nice run. Congratulations. Instead, they want to protest, but it is what it is. Erica hit a season low on Saturday because she didn't qualify and says, hey, we're not cheaters. We've never cheated, Freeman said. Have we taken rules to the extent? Absolutely. That's our job. Everybody does it in motorsports. If they're if they say they don't, they're ignorant and no big deal to us. To be honest with you, it was good for our team because we all stayed and we had a good time. We found something we needed to address and we appreciated that. Enders took the extra attention as a badge of honor. So did Coughlin, who said after securing the top starting on Saturday, I guess it's flattering.
Hmm.
Said Enders, not a whole lot of people like us, which is fine. AJ Foyt told me a long time ago, if you have friends in racing, you suck. We've had a really rough couple of years, haven't done much on the track, and now we're running good again, and it's making people upset. So we're taking it as a compliment because that's exactly what it is. It means my guys at Elite are doing their job finding horsepower. My crew chiefs and I are doing a good job making these cars go down the track. Instead of them working hard and focusing on the program, they're worried about what we're doing, and that's exactly what we need. McGahee did say he had his eyebrow was cocked toward the Elite team since 2015. That beef was about fuel, and because it has continued to bother him, McGahee this year has funded the fuel bill for every race since the Southern Nationals at Atlanta in May. That costs him about $1,000 per car or per event. The Odessa, Texas owner driver said he also has questioned Elite Motorsports about its intake manifold. So his suspicions about the Oklahoma-based team didn't erupt suddenly, but text messages flew back and forth Friday night. This is a good one. So Richard Freeman from the Elite Motor Group is not happy with me, which I totally understand, according to McGahey. He told me to keep sending the money his way, and I said, don't worry, you're going to reimburse me. He said, don't count on it. I said, I thought when I started doing this at some time or another, he would turn around and start protesting me. Then I'll just get my money back. But he didn't. What McGahey got from Freeman was a digital knuckle sandwich. He showed text messages from Freeman, one of which read, thanks for the cash. Go to work. Quit worrying about us. If you want to handle it like men, march your butt over here and let's get her done. I love it. Keep sending the money. McGahey then countered, they seem to be the only ones that like to resort to physical violence at times. I was told if I want to be a man, I can come down there to Elite Pits and we can settle it like men. That to me is saying you need to come down here and we can duke it out. Maybe not, but this guy turns around and calls me an idiot and a dumb butt. I got it in the text. So he provided a text message from him and he pictures the protest marching along. So it just continues on. But he did say, you know, he says, so how do you go reason with a guy like that? Yeah, you're just chicken. That's the class you're dealing with right there. Then told us to get classy, and we did. He says, but, I don't have nearly the same opinion yesterday that I do today. I have to take the sanctioning body at its word, and at this point it's good. It didn't look right. I protested, and they tore it down. It's obviously legit. All we wanted to do is know why.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like sour grapes, and really, it sounds like bad sportsmanship to me. That's right. My two cents.
All right. And if anybody watched the Xfinity race last night, hats off to Justin Allgaier.
Yes.
That boy spun out and still won the race. And he gave Austin Cindric a lesson in driving. And it was awesome. So you had Justin Allgaier, Austin Cindric, Daniel Henrick, Matt Tift, and Ryan Truex, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Those Xfinity races are so fun.
They are really, really. And then the truck race was good. Uh-huh. Brent Moffitt took Johnny Sauter out on the last lap. That was awesome. Then John Hunter Nemechek, Noah Gragson, Todd Gilliam were your top five there. And I got to tell you, that was awesome. It was just a great race. That was at Michigan International. And the Infinity cars were at Mid-Ohio. And your girlfriend first got bumped off the track.
Uh-huh.
And then once she got bumped off the track, then she blew a motor.
Oh.
Miss Leg.
Oh.
Miata
Dang.
Hachimura.
I know. I like her.
I know.
Yes. Catherine Leg.
She just needs a better car. Like,
yeah.
She had no advertising. Her name was on the car.
I know.
She had nothing. But so she needs somebody to pick her up, like Jenny
right.
Craig. Come on, Jenny. Get your money out there. Quit putting it on horses. All right. We're going to take a hit. We're going to be back next week with a whole lot more. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle, and you can check us out. Racer Radio has a page on Facebook, and so does the You Auto Know Show.
All right, right on. AM 1170,
The answer. Happy trails.
To you, until we meet again, happy trails.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.